On November 27th, 2025, Ontario Bill 68 received royal assent in Queen's Park, turning legislative amendments into law. Amongst the changes was the amendment to the Conservation Authorities Act. All conservation authorities within Ontario must now report to the recently established Ontario Provincial Conservation Agency, and they will do so under a new structure. Effective February 1, 2027, Ontario's 36 conservation authorities are required to amalgamate into 9 greater regions. The Grand River Conservation Authority will be melded with 3 others: Kettle Creek Conservation Authority, Catfish Creek Conservation Authority, and the Long Point Region Conservation Authority. The 4 CAs will form the Eastern Lake Erie Regional Conservation Authority. The Grand 101 decided to reach out to each of the 4 to see what will change, and how each conservation authority feels about the amendment. Despite the complete restructuring of a near-century-old organization, GRCA Board of Directors Chair John Challoner says ideally no change will be noticed from the outside.
Our mandate hasn't changed. We will continue to provide, you know, flood protection for people up and down the watershed, the 38 municipalities that we share that responsibility with. So really, you know, it is our hope that it's same old in terms of what the GRCA provides to the public today versus, you know, 2027.
Each conservation authority in Ontario has a board of directors, which are made up of local municipal figures. Challoner also serves as town councillor for Milton's Ward 2. Initially, the provincial government wanted the 36 CAs to dissolve into 7, but after some back and forth with Ontario's conservation authorities, the Ford government cut back the figure to 9, and the regions are based on source protection areas. Challoner says basing the amalgamation on the protected areas is a more ideal arrangement.
They granted our request to amalgamate with our 3 source water protection area partners to become 1 authority. So we were quite satisfied with that. We think it makes sense, and we think that the amalgamation is going to go well.
The GRCA also sees the amalgamation as an opportunity to utilize its abundance of human, planning, and fiscal resources to assist the smaller organizations.
I can say, you know, with no hesitation, the Grand River Conservation Authority had all 3. In abundance. We never had a situation where we didn't have enough resource to properly plan, finance, or activate with our human resources on any issue that came before us. We never had to turn to somebody else for financial help. And so the 3 that we are amalgamating with are much, much smaller than we are. They will benefit from, you know, what we've always had in place.
According to the provincial government, these changes were needed to address issues with administration.
You know, if we don't stand up and be accountable, and that means, you know, here's what we see as the issues, because the province, quite rightly, were advocating change because they saw issues. Were all the conservation authorities in Ontario properly resourced financially or from a human resources standpoint to deal with the issues of the future in the province of Ontario? They weren't. It was an issue.
Next up is Todd Noble. He is the deputy mayor for Central Elgin and also sits as the chair for Kettle Creek Conservation Authority. Noble says Kettle Creek is hitting all its marks.
Kettle Creek has always achieved those goals to higher than satisfactory levels. So I don't understand with the whole amalgamation, it's what's the problem they're trying to solve, because we've done everything we've been asked to do by our governing bodies.
Ontario conservation authorities are involved in multiple differing processes, such as managing campsites, tree planting, land upkeep, best management practices with farmers, erosion control, as well as researching and informing the public of flood mapping and protections.
We've managed to do all that within our budgetary constraints and working with the municipality and, like I say, the developers. So there's benefits, and we'll always look for benefits by what is happening. But for Kettle Creek, we didn't need this. We're happy to, like, if this is the direction, then we accept this as a direction, and we move forward in a positive note. But it wasn't something that we needed to achieve what we were already doing.
Speaking on housing specifically, Noble says the only thing stopping new houses from being built are the lack of customers.
I can speak to Central Elgin because obviously I'm a big part of that, but building houses in Central Elgin is not being held up by anything other than the demand for the housing and the affordability of housing at this time. Like, we have lots of properties that could have houses built on it, and the builders just aren't building because they don't have customers.
Afterwards, the Grand spoke with Dusty Underhill, the general manager, secretary, and treasurer of the Catfish Creek Conservation Authority. Underhill says the demand to build in larger urban centers is not experienced in the smaller rural areas.
It's like comparing apples to oranges. We're in a very small rural community. When it comes time to put out a permit, etc., we're definitely not in the way of development here. We could turn around a permit in 5 to 7 business days. So we're actually well ahead of the provincial standard in regard to timelines. But now if you compare us to, let's say, somewhere in the Grand, like Kitchener, Cambridge, or Waterloo, think of how many building permits are going to come across that desk in a day. No matter what happens, there's always going to be that urgency for development in these big centers, whereas ours, sure, we're having development, but we don't get near as many permits because our development isn't near as substantial.
According to Underhill, Catfish is also reaching all of its development goals with no difficulty.
We're getting urban sprawl here, don't get me wrong, but it's not at the cost of any slowdown in regard to development. Right now, we are 100% on par with all our provincially mandated guidelines in regard to development for the Catfish. I can speak on our behalf. We're definitely not slowing down or hindering anything in this area. I guess we're all going to take a hit for the areas. There might be some areas out there, I'm assuming, in the province that it does take a little more time.
Todd Noble says despite the differing markets, Kettle Creek is feeling the pressure.
I feel like the conservation authorities are in some areas being blamed for housing, but that's not my experience here. I can't speak to the other ones, but my experience here is we have ample approvals for building, and the builders just aren't building because there's not a demand for it.
Last but not least is Judy Maxwell of the Long Point Region Conservation Authority. She says their CA is not delaying infrastructure developments.
We don't have the same development pressures as some of the larger centers, but we've had really good turnaround times for our permits. We're like 5 days for last year. This is 2025 for minor applications, and we're just under 6 days for major applications. So we do turn permits around quickly. We have done some things internally to help speed up the process. So for us, we're probably not a CA that has been standing in the way of issues for development.
Noble and Kettle Creek also express a concern for the dissolution of the local voice in favor of a blanketed approach.
So when you put that with the municipalities within the Grand, we're pretty small. So our fear is it'll take the local voice away from the collective.
However, Underhill and Catfish have also recognized a lack of professional planners.
I think we're lacking planners. It's a very hard asset to find. Even if we amalgamate and stuff and we don't have that secured staffing to back up all these progressive movements, then we're going to be at a standstill anyway, I guess.
According to a 2024 report from the Ontario Professional Planners Institute, the province of Ontario has already experienced a shortage of planners. The report says, quote, Ontario faces a significant shortage of planners necessary to do long-range planning and process the volume of applications required to meet our housing goals, end quote. Under the new legislation, each board of directors was required to appoint 2 representatives to a transition committee, which reports to the Ontario Provincial Conservation Agency. Noble says this new chain of command is not favorable for consistent local advice.
If the elected person, their voice does not really carry any concern, your electorate, like the folks that elect you, now their voice is not being heard.
The amendments require the CAs to appoint 1 of its members that also serve on municipal council, as well as either the chief administrative officer or general manager of the predecessor authority. Maxwell and Longpoint says this likely means only 1 individual municipal representative will be working with the Ontario Provincial Conservation Agency through the transition.
Looking at it, we'll likely only have 1 rep, say, from Norfolk County in the new structure, whereas today we have 4. So we know we're not going to have a rep from, you know, the town of Tillsonburg and Southwest Oxford and Norwich. We currently have 3. We'll be having 1 rep from Oxford County.
For Underhill and Catfish, that means working with a completely different tier of government.
One of the big things for us, I guess, would be like loss of the lower tier municipal representation. So before we reported to our lower tier municipality, so for Catfish Creek, that'll mean now we just report to Elgin County and Oxford County. And these are people that we've never worked with before. It's like a whole learning curve, I guess you could say, for both parties.
Catfish Creek also has a unique watershed context compared to its neighbors.
Even just past the local voice as local site conditions, Catfish is very meandering. We have, in the wintertime, we can have severe ice-induced flooding, where a lot of our neighbors like the Big Otter through Long Point Region Conservation Authority and Kettle Creek Conservation Authority, et cetera, their rivers are more of a strait. So when the ice comes out, it goes straight out in the lake. Port Bruce floods, it goes underwater. We have a totally different water context than even our neighbors, right? So when it comes down to, you know, amalgamating as a general make it one, we still have very different contexts when it comes to our watershed, I guess, attributes. The way things drain, the way things flow, floods, et cetera, et cetera.
Underhill says maintaining local knowledge is key in understanding the nuanced differences between the natural scape of each conservation area.
We don't want that loss of representation. So I guess it's like watershed boundaries versus political boundaries at this point. Nature doesn't really respect of political lines, and traditionally we were built around watershed ecosystems. So every conservation authority in regard to land context is very significant and different than the next. And what's happening, I think a lot of this is going to be a one-size-fits-all. It's what they've chosen to do, and it's what we're going to have to work with. But as long as they take the right approach, we might be able to still keep that, I guess, local knowledge.
The conservation authorities do see glimmers of good within the imminent amendments. Underhill says the staff at Catfish are typically quite busy. Getting greater access to resources from large organizations like Grand River could prove to be beneficial.
Say I have 7 full-time staff on staff here. We don't have any form of engineers. We're the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. My staff, and including myself, we wear very many hats here just to get our daily duties done because, again, we don't have a huge workforce and we don't have a lot of that science-based, well, we have science-based staff on, but we don't have the engineering staff and things like that that the GRC would have. So there's definitely going to be perks of this.
Chaloner and Grand River are also looking forward to establishing a stronger line of communication between all conservation authorities and the provincial government.
I'm optimistic that communications lines will remain open and perhaps even be stronger because it's important. There's a lot of change taking place in the province of Ontario, and with that change, there are impacts, environmental impacts, in terms of flood mitigation and water quality and water source and all that kind of thing. And so it's important that, you know, there be strong two-way dialogue moving forward because things are changing more rapidly than they have in the last 100 years. Growth is the major reason why.
However, Underhill says the success of the transition, subsequent amalgamation, and the future of the organization rests largely on maintaining science-based decision-making.
We need to respect the science-based aspect of it more so than the political boundaries. At least that's what we're hoping.
I'm Mick Horvath reporting for The Grand 101.